Well, the pilgrimage to the nation's capital to watch democracy in action is a rite of passage for many Australian school students. But this week, some are not just sitting on the sidelines, they're having their voices heard. The first ever National Youth Parliament is convening, bringing together 150 secondary school students from right across the country. The Youth Parliament have spent the past 2 days meeting with politicians and debating their own bills. And like any good politician, they're even fronting up for a grilling on Radio National Breakfast this morning. I'm delighted to say that in the studio with me, the Youth Minister for Communications, 16-year-old Pip, is with me. Pip, welcome to breakfast this morning. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Joined by one of the biggest champions of the Youth Parliament, Labor MP and Speaker of the House of Representatives, Milton Dick. Speaker, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
You've been chasing this initiative for a long time. Why do you think it's important to have the Youth Parliament?
Well, I think when you look at the data that shows that only 43% of Year 6s understand our system of government and 28% of Year 10s understand our standards of civics, I wanted to do something practical and I wanted to do something to engage with young people. And this program is unique and it's the first, as you said, of its kind. Over 2,778 young people applied from across 1,300 towns and 900 schools from across Australia. So we're very lucky to have people like Pip who've step forward to give their view and their say about, particularly about our democracy and to improve civics amongst young people.
So how does it work? What happens with the Youth Parliament here in Canberra?
Well, we've been privileged to partner with the Y, who have been our delivery partners, and across Australia, every electorate is represented. So just like I'm a member for Oxley, Nelson is the youth member for Oxley and Pip is the representative for Newcastle. And the community and members of Parliament have been involved. I know I set up a panel up in my area to look at the applications, and the applicants had to go through a series of interviews but also explain why they wanted to represent the community. And now they're all here this week and they're taking over Parliament.
So they've been meeting in the chamber in Old Parliament House? Or?
Yes. Former Speaker Tiny Smith has been keeping them on their toes. And he's done a great job. And they have raised some fantastic ideas, particularly on the strength of our democracy. And it's been done in a bipartisan way. So yesterday morning, the delegates and youth members met with Angus Taylor over breakfast. The day before, the Prime Minister addressed them, and there's been breakouts with all members of Parliament participating in this program.
So, Pip, what's it been like to be part of this Youth Parliament? What sort of stayed with you most so far from this experience?
Well, the entire week has been so great. I really want to say thank you for the entire week. It was been really amazing. I've been lucky enough to be elected as the minister, so I've been able to work this amazing group of around 37 students, and we've been able to just debate our bill and working together. And so a lot of us missed our trip to Canberra in Year 7 because we COVID, or my school just simply didn't do it. And a lot of people have missed out who actually got to come here and learn about it now, to learn about the democracy. And everyone has just been really loving to know each other and get together. And something that's really important is a lot of the people I've been talking to, they've actually really enjoyed the people here compared to their friends at home. And it really tells you something really important, that where you're born is, it's like a lottery. Like, you don't know what school you're going to go to, your area, what the ideals of your area is. So if you're a student who's in a school and you don't have many friends or you don't connect well with people, you just need to know that there's people out there that you will connect well with eventually, so you can become friends with them once you go to uni and stuff.
What do you think the understanding of civics, you were talking about this COVID cohort that may have missed out, but more broadly, why do you think the understanding of civics for many young people is quite low at the moment?
Well, I didn't know anything to the beginning of the year until I got to do programs like this Youth Parliament. It's just probably not the interest. Youth people don't really know it exists. Like, I can go back to Newcastle, I can go back to my friends, and in my school, and I go to a selective school, so it's high academic people, I could probably have a conversation about politics with 10 of them. And I think it's just the interest. And I think people coming to schools, like I know the speaker would have gone to a lot of schools and spread what it's about, that would really engage people and I think that will really help it. And programs like this really help it as well.
You sit in an interesting age group. There have been proposals previously for 16-year-olds to be able to get the vote. What do you think about that when there's pressure and expectations on young people to be knowledgeable about politics, but you can't play along as yet? You've got another 2 years to go.
Yes, I assume you've heard of the idealist reasoning would be the people who aren't forced to as 16 and 17-year-olds. This is kind of what I believe in, like they can choose to vote as 16 and 17, but not everyone is forced to. That would probably be my dream idea. So maybe these 150 kids at this youth parliament who would like politics, know about it, they could vote, but not everyone, especially those who don't know much about it. And it's also that crossover. Once you get 18, like in my siblings, they wouldn't know that much about politics either. So I think there needs to be more in that crossover.
Speaker, what have you learnt from observing the young people in action, debating, but also having some one-on-one conversations about that understanding of politics and that engagement?
Just like you've heard from Pip, who's a wonderful representative, they are full of ideas, full of energy, and really want to see Australia move forward in a positive place. So I guess the key take out by talking to the youth members is they've all got some fantastic ideas about where Australia should go, but also to fix some of the issues that are facing Australians as well. So I was beaming with pride when I saw 150 young faces representing every corner of the country, but a very range, broad background of people stepping forward and saying, I care, I want to have my voice heard. And interesting what Pip said then, she wants to go back to her community. That's exactly what this is about. And I hope part of the legacy program for this will be an ambassadorial program where kids will be able to, young adults, sorry, will be able to go back and encourage others to get involved and learn more about our precious democracy.
How do you see the role of local members? Because if young people are not getting the information about civics from other locations, is it incumbent on local members to take some of that on board? And just because you can't vote doesn't mean you can't go and knock on the door of your local member to seek services or to get them to lobby for you. Does there need to be greater connection, electorate by electorate, between young people and members of parliament?
I think members of parliament have a role to play, and one of the things I wanted to see when I became the speaker was to increase participation in schools and education. So I've written a new program, Parliament in Schools, where we teach about democracy, and we've rolled that out now across nearly every school.
How many schools have you visited? I can't
205. And I hope to visit every electorate in Australia, so play your cards right. I might end up in Newcastle.
Yes.
And what I wanted to see was, because we get 100,000 kids who come to Parliament, as Pip said, but 1.1 million who don't. So I want to give a voice to those young people who need to learn about our democracy, because democracy is under pressure. It doesn't collapse, it crumbles. And we are the 10th oldest democracy in the world, and we're not a very old country. So we have to fight for democracy. And my mission as the Speaker is to improve democracy or democracy literacy right across Australia.
We've got a couple of minutes only left up our sleeve. You've got the opportunity to see Federal Parliament in action. What's it been like to see debate, see things like question time?
Yes, we had an hour of question time the other day, and I found it really interesting. Even though they weren't speaking about the topics that I'm passionate about personally, it was really interesting to see the conflict and really how it worked.
Were there bits of that that you didn't like?
Well, the interesting thing is that in our debates, now they've asked us to not rebuttal or
not to shout
or anything like that. And they've been framing it as a way that that's how they want Parliament to be like. So they're kind of trying to teach us as we go through that, that it's not like that. So although some people's perspective maybe it's not as fun, but I like it because it seems more professional, and that's kind of the thing that we're here to do.
Speaker, can I ask you about question time in the House at the moment? It's felt like it's quite rowdy on some days at the moment. Has there been some frustration for you lately? It's pretty noisy right now.
Not for me, because at the end of the day, I always say if it's hot outside, it's going to be a little warm inside. So when there are big issues playing out, of course there's going to be energy, as I like to call it, maybe not noise. Sally, I always view the nation's Parliament's 27 million voices in one room. So, of course, it's going to have a bit of life to it. But I was raised in a family of how you treat people was how you expect to be treated. And that's how I roll as a person, but also as the Speaker. I don't always get it right, but I try to make bring out the best in all members of Parliament, because we are in such a privileged role and we live in the best country in the world. And I want our democracy and our Parliament to be the best in the world as well.
Speaker, sitting weeks are very busy for you. Thank you very much for coming in. Pip, great to talk to you. Who knows, I could be talking to you as a real Member of Parliament down the track if I'm still doing this trade. But thanks for coming in and giving a sense of what it's been like for some of the participants. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.